Hello and welcome to the debut episode of the Fireside Chat. I am your host, Paul Spohr, and I am joined by Nick Pollock. Nick, we've been by the fire before, but it's more official now. How you doing?
Oh, what is happening? Yes, I can see the cabin now. We are in our cushy chairs and the robes. Oh, your robe looks wonderful.
Thank you. Freshly cleaned. I appreciate that. I had a lot of Charlotte hair on it.
In your mug. And I'm so happy we're actually making this into a podcast now officially. It's been too long. We have a lovely, if you haven't seen it, the podcast cover looks so good.
Beautiful.
Huge shout out to Jackson Wallace for that cover. But yeah, man, Fireside Chats, we're going to be doing this weekly now. We're actually going to establish a real schedule to do these regularly. So pumped for this. Spore, it's just so nice to be by the fire with
it. It really is, man. Like, we are hours away from the first game of the year, you know, the first official game,
series.
And then, you know, a week plus, just over a week away from the season starting. We made it through the winter. I'm so excited to talk pitchers with you today. We've got some surprises, some guys that we got in our late rounds here that we're looking at to break out this year. This is kind of our wheelhouse, right? This is where we tried to succeed in the game. Like, we know about aces and all that, and I know a lot of times you don't even draft those guys.
Nope.
I'm not super keen on them this year myself. I bet if I don't get like one of my top 10, I've been kind of waiting. And so you got to get into the middle and back end of the pool to find your guys that are going to break out. And there's going to be a lot, right? We're going to talk about three each. There's going to be others that we're going to talk about as the season goes on. I wonder if maybe we should dig through the archives, pull up that Luis Castillo episode that birthed this entire idea and put it up as like an episode zero.
Right.
But I do like that we have our own feed now. We're going to be doing it weekly on Tuesdays. And today, like I said, we're talking late round picks. I got an ADP board up. We each got three guys. Let's go ahead and dive right in. Which one of us wants to go first?
Oh, hit me with yours first.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't know if the video is going to go out anywhere. I think we're just on video together with each other. But I am wearing my Tigers hat. So we should just start with the Tiger, because you got a little preview of who I'm talking about. And you like this guy as well. And I'm a recent convert here. This was a guy that I wasn't super keen on. And I will say, I want to continue to see this growth with him. But Matt Manning is somebody that I'm very eager to see what he can do to build upon his season last year. He put up some good ratios, but anybody that, I mean, you do not have to be some giant stats guru to know that they were pretty fraudulent, right? Like the 358 ERA and the 104 whip look great, but then any ERA indicator you like, I'm partial to Sierra, but whether you like FIP, XFIP, whatever it is, none of them were telling a good story. XERA 548, FIP 481, XFIP 533, Sierra 513. You get the point. They were all saying bad, bad, bad. Frankly, you didn't even need one of those. All you really needed was the most basic stat of all: strikeout minus walk ratio. 9%. That is horrendous, folks. You cannot be living with that. And not at those ratio levels, right? Like, you are a fifth, sixth starter with a 9% mark. And just to put it into context, league average was 14% last year. We really like our guys to be in the upper teens into the lower 20s here. And so Matt Manning is going to have to improve. And what's the biggest improvement he's going to need to do? It's definitely the strikeouts. 16% strikeout rate in 2024 is just not going to get it done. His 8% walk rate was about league average. That's passable. He wrote a 214 BABIP. This was your classic BABIP luck, getting out of jams that he put himself into, you know, those atom balls, those 98 mile an hour screamers that happen to go right to Javi Baez at short. But if they were a foot to the left or to the right, they're in left or right field, or excuse me, it would be left field if it was going to Baez, into left field for a base hit. All that sort of stuff was working for Matt Manning last year. This year, though, we are already seeing great improvements in spring where the velocity's been up. Now, it hasn't held all the way at the 95 that we first saw, but it's been up, and the secondaries are working better, specifically the slider. Those are two factors that I think can bring up that strikeout rate, and I don't need him to be a strikeout per inning guy. I would love that, but I would take like a 22% rate. That would be a 6-point jump for Matt Manning, and that would be instrumental because I do believe that he can still generate weak contact, have strong play there, quality defense behind him. I do like the Tigers outfield defense. I think it's shaping up pretty nicely. The infield defense isn't too bad with Urshela and Baez on the left side. Colt Keith at second base, a little bit of a liability, but that I can live with a bad second baseman. Baez, the one thing he still does is play defense. So good support, better offensive bullpen support, a lot of things working in Matt Manning's factor in his favor, I should say. I think there could be a nice season here where maybe even the ratios go up, but they're a lot more believable. So if you put up like a 370 ERA and a 110 whip, but you could actually trust it. Because even during last year, when did you ever trust Matt Manning? Never. Unless he was playing like the White Sox or the Royals. But this year, I think you're going to be able to trust it more if that velo is holding, if that slider's biting. So I'm in on Matt Manning this year, and he's a bargain basement price still.
Yeah, Matt Manning to me is he's really fascinating, because I'm with you on the, like, come on, 216 BABIP last year. That just seems ridiculous.
Yeah.
His PLA, which is based on PLV pitches, right? It's essentially saying, like, hey, based on all the pitches that you threw, for the most part, it's not really an ERA estimator in the sense of we look at the situations based on the quality of pitches and determine the ERA. We're developing that still. That's a very hard thing to do.
Absolutely.
But just based on the PLV of the pitches that you threw, we have this fun translator of, like, his PLV, which was 91st percentile, into an ERA stat, and it was 306. Wow. And his hit luck, this is what's crazy to me. We talk about that BABIP being so ridiculous, but his hit luck, which essentially says, based on all the pitches that he threw, how many more hits should he have had, or how many fewer hits should he be allowed? Normally when we see a 260, I'm thinking I'm going to see like a minus 20 or so. Like, it averages out to be a minus one for everybody. Matt Manning's was a minus three.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And PLV loves Matt Manning, and it's for two reasons. One, his slider's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And not only does he have good movement and everything, he throws it for strikes. And if you throw a good slider in the zone for strikes a lot, you're just going to have a lower BABIP. It's just what happens. Yep. It's harder to hit a slider generally if it's in the zone, not like a hanger, just competitively in the zone, one that moves a lot. Yeah, that's going to be better than any regular fastball inside the zone. So you're going to see lower BABIP numbers on that. But his four-seamer is stupid hard to hit. And I have not in the past given him enough credit for this. Matt Manning, I remember being on the Trophy Press podcast. Matt Garosh, I believe his name was. Or maybe Mark Garosh, sorry. I compared Matt Manning. I didn't believe this at the time. I thought this was ridiculous. And I looked more into it, and I agree with him, to Zach Wheeler.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, whoa, okay, not a chance. You have Matt Manning, 93 in change. He doesn't have the sinker. Like, it's not nearly that good of a fastball. Matt Manning's stuff on his four-seamer, over 7 feet extension last year, making it 93rd. And it's height-adjusted VAA, which is essentially saying this pitch, instead of when it's high or low, it's just if it's middle, is this flatter or not, suggesting that if it's really flat in the middle, that means it would work upstairs and wouldn't work downstairs, right? It's just a much better way of classifying the attack angle of a pitch, because VAA is dependent on where he actually threw it. And if you throw it lower or higher, you're going to be flatter or steeper innately, right? So the height-adjusted one was 93rd percentile at a 1.5, which is truly phenomenal. That is very flat four-seamer.
And this is all what he did last year for Matt Manning.
This is what he did last year. And he's looking better in the spring right now. He's throwing a tick harder. At times it was 95, and I so hope he can do that.
That would be
next level. And if it is 95, that's like almost Zach Wheeler's fastball. And Manning doesn't have bad command. He doesn't have as good command as Wheeler. But
No.
And right, so then you have a four-seamer and a slider that are both good, and that might just be enough for Matt Manning to be effective. There is a curveball in the mix as well. High strike rates. PLV does not like it, though. It's very much of one of those pitches he just gets over the plate. He throws it early in counts about 70% of the time. It's a get me over more so than it is one of those in my back pocket, I need something pitches.
Yeah.
And that's maybe another area that Matt Manning can improve, is having something else instead of four seamer and slider. But man, I am so in on this, and something I've been focusing a lot, and I'm going to be talking about it with every pitcher that we talk about now, is considering these are late guys. We should very much care about their opening two starts.
Exactly.
Because if you get a late draft pick and you're not starting them, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, you can't be trying to hold guys and thinking about, like, the full season shouldn't even be in your mind. And I was telling you that I've been telling people like, hey, 3 to 6 weeks. You're like, 6 weeks is even too much. And I agree. I'm changing that down to 2 to 4 weeks. And if you can't start them early, why are you picking these guys? Yeah. Because you got to be ready to act on the waiver wire for the hot guys that pop up. So I totally agree with you there. Give it to us with Manning. What's he looking at as the middle of the rotation guy?
So let's say he's, I don't know how they're going to set it up yet.
That's why I said that he could straddle. I mean, he's the 3-4.
The Tigers have it nice. But right now in my head, I'm thinking it's Scooble and Maeda as 1-2.
Yeah.
I think it should be 3 Manning, but it's probably going to be 3 Flaherty.
I agree.
And I agree on then both counts. Manning and then probably Reese Olson. I could even throw in here, I like going after Reese Olson. I love Casey Mize. Casey Mize's four-seamer is looking to be like a top 10 four-seamer in the majors right now. Oh my God, not even kidding.
Don't get me
And he wasn't even a four-seamer guy before Tommy John. He was a sinker guy.
Yeah, he was pure sinker.
It blows my mind.
You're excited.
I'm stoked. It makes all the sense for them not to start with Mize because with Tommy John, you don't want to throw him every 5 days. So fine, you stall him early in the year until like May 1st and something will open up naturally, likely with the Tigers. So then you do Reese Olson, who is already stretched out to just start every 5 days from last year. So fine, for the most part. So they go with that. Both of them I like. So let's say it's Manning at 4 and Reese Olson at 5. That means they're both going to get the Mets in the first turn, and then Manning is going to get Oakland while Olson's going to get the Pirates. So I'm a fan of both of those easily. Yeah. That's great. You can even throw then Kenta Maeda going against the White Sox opening weekend. And here's the thing, Spore, especially in your daily leagues and or leagues that you even have a Sunday fab, there's something to be said about getting Maeda, starting him against the White Sox, and then getting whatever SP5 flyer you want that's on the wire still.
Exactly.
You get a free start. Right?
No, I love that. I really do agree with that. And like, again, talking about playing this early manipulation with the roster or with the schedule makes a lot of sense. Stop worrying about your guys. Honestly, I'm thinking past like pick 12, 13, depending on what your league size or whatever, it can move a little bit. Stop worrying about the full season. It does not matter. You are not keeping these guys. Yes. You're not keeping these guys that long. You need to be looking at short-term month at a max situation. Yes. And then deeper you get, now you start rounds that begin with a 2, you start looking at these first couple starts. And you've put together that big chart. Is that live yet or is that going live soon?
Oh, yeah. No, this chart is the same one I put out in October.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Because obviously the schedule wouldn't change.
I'm right now making just a notepad. I almost got through all of it. I got up to the Twins. So I have like 8 teams left. Of just like noting the first 2 starts for all of the fringe guys that aren't going inside your top 50. And just being able to recognize like, yep, these are good or these are bad. And it's just a quick cheat sheet for me. Especially during this one, I can just be like, bam, there it is. PL Pro people are going to get that earlier because I'm just going to throw that into the Discord. And then I'll have an article about the pitchers I'm streaming in the first week. That's going to go through, just have all these as a table, and then I'll just highlight, color code them. And sweet. Shazam. There's your lovely article. Shazam. Easy stuff. But yeah, so I mean, the Tigers as a whole, you got to be paying attention to them. I mean, there's even like Sawyer Gibson Long, who just, his four-seamer is better than I expected to. He's an amazing extension.
God, the Tigers having pitching depth, Nick, sorry to interrupt you. I'm so excited by it. I'm trying to keep my excitement measured, but I'm so excited that we have depth. And I'm a wee guy, y'all. If you don't like it, cry about it. I'm a wee guy with my favorite team. No, I'm not on the team. No, they don't pay me, but I invest enough time and enough of my years to be a wee guy.
Embrace the wee. That means that you care, that we want to have.
That's the thing. I've never understood the people that are like anti-wee stuff or whatever. But anyway, I am very excited. Matt Manning, very much interested in him. He goes past pick 300. You know, we're going to cite some main event data. Not everyone plays in the main event. I totally understand that. If you don't even know what the main event is, it's the NFBC's biggest challenge. It's an overall pool. So not only are you facing your 15-team league, but you're facing all 750 people in one giant league as well. So it's a really great pool. It's very difficult. And so I think it's a good litmus test that if they're going at a certain point in these drafts, they're probably going to be as cheap or cheaper in your league. So Matt Manning going 342 in the main event so far, the eight main events that have happened, means he's at least going to be going after pick 300 in your league as well. If you don't even draft that deep, if you're in a more shallow league, he can be your last pick. Don't get hung up on this and say, well, we don't even draft 340 players, so how can I take him? He can be your last pick because there's so many guys that are capable of being your last pick in a 10-teamer. You don't have to just go in order. You can pick your favorite. So I really like Matt Manning. Nick seems to co-sign here. Let's move on to your first guy.
Sure. And by the way, I'm going to reference also Fantasy Pros ADP for those that yes. are trying to see a 12. So it's good to have both here. I like that.
Absolutely.
421 right now for Matt Manning.
Just that's so free. Cheap. He's free.
It's unbelievable to me.
Anyone that listens to Sleeper in the Butt, sorry to interrupt you, they know that I push back on Justin when he says free because he'll say it about a guy who costs like pick 210. And I'm like, that's not free. 421 is free. That is literally your last pick.
Oh,
you barely have to register him. But Matt Manning, go get him for free.
Are you going to be stashing Jackson Jobe anywhere?
Yes, I actually have him in two draft and holds.
Oh, well, draft and hold, fine. But like
in a draft and hold,
I actually have him Razz Slam because I just could not do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the same kind of best ball type of deal. I haven't anywhere like that's a waiver league only because I play mostly NFBC and it's only seven reserve slots and I just don't know when he's coming up. Do you think he's going to be doing some big things this year?
And where does he rank the second he comes up, do you think?
Probably top 75.
He's
an insane prospect. At the very least. I know you usually go higher on the prospects when they come up, which I respect because you got to jump on them. Yeah. Not every prospect.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm saying minimum top 75. I could see as high as top 60 day one. I mean, he is an insane prospect.
If you told me that Jackson Jobe is pitching 160 innings this year, which he won't, but if he were, I could see myself putting him at like 15. I'm not even kidding. This is literally one of the best pitchers I have seen in a long time.
And you know,
it's crazy.
He got some. Do you agree with him getting some Wheeler comps? Because I saw Jobe getting some. You mentioned the Manning ones. Better. Oh my God.
Well, I mean, on a per inning basis, keep in mind. Like the value of Wheeler is that you know that Wheeler can go seven innings constantly.
Of course.
And that he's just an absolute rock and stud and keep it, moving forward.
So when do you think the Tigers look to bring him up?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping June 1st.
I see him as the target I'm looking at
right now, honestly.
Same.
So you have Mize as the 6, Sawyer Gibson Long as a 7, and then Jobe.
Yep.
Theoretically, exactly you could say Ty Madden, but Ty Madden's just not nearly as good.
Hook 'em Horns, I love him, but
Flores is a reliever.
Roster filler. And Wilmer Flores, absolutely relief for us.
Jobe is so, it's like Jobe and Skeens are in their own prospect here.
Completely different class of.
And I'm going to mention second guy now, or my guy, which is Jared Jones.
Jared Jones.
I'm just
going to
take a flyer on now. And he's in the second tier. And then there's like a massive third tier of could very well help your fantasy teams, but they don't have that absurd electricity that all the first three guys I mentioned have.
Yep.
I've yet to see anyone else that really just blows me away like these do. And also Jones, Skeens, and Jobe are above the threshold of command that don't make them like just so volatile that I don't know what I'm going to get in a given day.
Exactly.
Jones a little bit more questionable, but low walk rates forever, so fine. But yeah, Jared Jones, I have no idea what the Pittsburgh Pirates are doing. If I were running the Pirates, I would not be making him a starter out of the gate. Because why? You're the Pirates. You don't need to start any of these clocks.
So you say don't bring him up to start the season?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't.
I thought you were saying start him in the bullpen.
Oh, yeah. No. Do not do that.
No. That's why I was like, wait a minute. Why would you do that? I was going to question you a little bit.
Oh, absolutely not.
You're saying don't even start his clock.
What's the point? Why? You're the Pirates.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, the Central is theoretically attainable, right?
So for me, I think it's an all or nothing. If you're going to bring up Jones, bring up Skeens and really try to push. Otherwise, why bring up one and not the other?
Yeah.
That was kind of my thinking with it.
Then here they go. Like they got Eric Lauer and Chase Anderson and Quinn Priester and not Ronzi Contreras anymore. Luis L. Ortiz and Domingo Herman. And that's for two spots,
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I hate it so much. But the thing is, at the end of this draft, I love quick decisions. It's a major element for me, especially in your 12-teamer. you need to know quickly if this thing is good or bad for you. The first couple weeks of the fantasy season are the most important for your bench spots and to figure out who are the ones that are carrying skill changes that matter for the year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of things during the year as you pick up guys and so on and so forth. Yes, but there is a larger pool in the beginning as we get really good data that go, oh, wait, hold on. That's a guy.
This is real.
I need to get on this early.
Yep.
So if I'm taking a flyer in my draft, I need to be able to leave quickly if it's not going to work out.
Yeah, you don't want to get caught in limbo.
The only reason for Jones is if he doesn't get a rotation spot.
Yep.
So get him, and you might even be able to swap him out before the season even starts, and that's totally fine. You're going to have so many other options for flyers in your league that you can replace him with. The skill set is great. Four-seamer is stupid good. Mm-hmm. Slider slash cutter is a perfect complement to it. The only concern is that his four-seamer command can be a little bit weird. He sometimes tugs a little too much. Glove side, it's a little bit more east-west than I want to be the north-south. But I'm also going to attribute a little bit of that to spring being the spring and his adrenaline.
Sure.
240 innings in the minors of a sub 10% walk rate suggests to me that there is better command than I saw in the spring as a scout. So I'm just like, all right, he shows up, you get him. Don't care about the wind stuff of the Pirates. Nope. If he's just amazing electric, that's great. Yeah, Jared Jones is absolutely on my list of flyers I need to chase right now.
Full cosign again here. We are in lockstep. Wrote him up in my redraft guys to know for the prospect week over at Fangraphs. And I love the binary of, did they make the roster? Yes, I'm going to hold him. If he didn't, cut and move on with Jared Jones. He's another one of these guys that's we're going to tab as essentially free. Pick 360 in the main event. And so you're doing, let's see. Yeah, you're picking 390 guys in the main event, 15 times 26. So he's one of those late picks there that you don't have to invest a ton in. I bet he's going to be even cheaper on Fantasy Pros. If he doesn't make the roster, easy cut. If he does, stick with him and see what's up. But he's exactly tracking for that fifth starter's role right now.
Yeah. So I want to hear who your second guy is. But before we do, we have to take a quick break. So Spore, second guy, who is it?
So this one, I had him on my breakouts list. And honestly, I got better news. I got good news on this way quicker than I thought. And it's Garrett Crochet of the Chicago White Sox.
I did not
expect him to be not only, I thought he had a chance to make the rotation. He's the opening day starter.
It's unreal.
I'm like, okay, fantastic. And I was like, he got the little quickest write up. He was the last guy on the list. I was like, he's getting a shot in the rotation after essentially 2 years off. He had 13 innings last year. I doubt we can expect a ton of volume from the live-armed lefty, but I'd take a month or two of quality work from one of my last picks. That was the write-up. That was it. One sentence for him. But he has insane arm talent. Like, I know it's easy to call every slingy lefty the next Chris Sale, but there's a little bit of that vibe there. He's also very tall. So you got a big fastball, big slider. Who are you gonna compare him to with some, control issues that need to be ironed out? Having a wonderful spring, it's 9 innings for Garrett Crochet. Do not get too freaked out over 9 innings, positive or negative, but it's been very positive. 34% K rate, 25% swing strike, 0 walks. That's my favorite thing. Mm. And again, it is 9 innings. I cannot stress that enough. But 0 walks is nice for Garrett Crochet because that's always been his biggest issue is his command and control, of course. He's going to get the opening day start here. They're facing who? The Tigers, right?
They are facing the Tigers. You might know them.
Listen, I love my ball club. They're not a team that scares me against a live arm lefty like this. I will start Garrett Crochet comfortably against the Tigers because regardless of where it is, whether it's Detroit or Chicago, it's going to be cold as well. And the hitters might not necessarily be ready to go anyway against a guy like that. I love Garrett Crochet. I'm taking the shot on him and I'm at least starting him against the Tigers and I'll go from there.
Yeah, so one really nice thing about this is that it is opening day. And again, quick decision.
Quick decision.
It would be Atlanta after. So that's
scary.
Not fun.
No.
Not a good time there for Garrett Crochet if you are going after this. However, after Atlanta, he would then get Cleveland. Not so bad.
So you're right back in. So maybe one
right
bench.
Back in, right?
At least you
Cleveland,
can use the first start.
Hosting Cincinnati. So not so bad the first couple weeks.
Sure.
I don't know how I feel about Garrett Crochet because it's a fastball slider, I think, still. I don't really know how much he's added a changeup. I mean, he used to throw like 8% of the time.
It's show me, you know.
And yeah, right. And that's the thing. Show me is more for righties because they face less lefties. Mm-hmm. But you're going to see a lot of righties as Garrett Crochet, which means that a changeup tradition for a lefty is a little bit more important.
Agreed.
As a show me than it is against a, you know, for a righty. Watching him this spring, I would not say that his command is elite, or like not elite even, just like I don't know if he's above it to a point that I feel like, oh yeah, this is a guy that like I trust that he's going to be able to do all the stuff we want with his four seamer. And actually, my weird comp for him is a lefty Michael Kopech right now.
I think that is completely fair. Obviously, you're sticking in house with his ball club. We saw the relief risk of Kopech. He's now a reliever.
Right. And the four seamer isn't flat. Like it is pretty average as far as they come. So it's not terribly steep. He's super tall. This is why it's not super flat. And that's given him some trouble in the past as far as contact goes. So I want to see a little bit more of Crochet before I'm really in. The slider can be really good at times, as a big whiff pitch was a 22% swing strike rate in 2021 before Tommy John. We got a smaller sample of just 13 innings last year for Garrett Crochet, 54 innings in 2021. So it's two pitch without me feeling ultra confident in the four seamer. Generally means it breaks the Wasker rule, the Wasker Noah rule of just like the slider. However, again, first start against the Tigers, take a chance. Let's just see that is, and then we can move on, right?
Exactly.
So I like that. I dig it. There's no way I'm starting him against Atlanta.
No.
Oh my gosh. If I'm like feeling tepid and not really sure after that Detroit one, I'm probably going to move on. But I
think that's totally fair.
Because no one wants to pick him up for Atlanta.
Exactly. So you would have another fair shot to jump back in if you really wanted to at that point with Garrett Crochet. So I do totally agree with that. Get him for the Detroit start if you're in. If he goes out and looks pretty sharp, bench him for Atlanta, and then you reassess for Cleveland and Cincy after that with Garrett Crochet. But live arm, we don't know what kind of volume we're getting. We're playing it start to start with him, absolutely, and that's why he's your last pick.
Yes. So another surprise, the same kind of way of Crochet being like, we didn't even know if you'd be in the rotation.
Yeah.
You know, then all of a sudden Cease goes and then Kopech leaves. And like that whole rotation is so interesting. Like, do we go after Nick Nastrini? Maybe he's the fifth because it's not Drew Thorpe, probably after yesterday's 8 earned run effort.
I'd be surprised. Yeah.
And maybe Chad Kuhl, honestly, it makes sense. Just throw in Chad Kuhl. Yeah.
Oh, our old friend from many moons.
No, he doesn't like me. I betrayed him.
I betrayed his career. No. You're taking the heat for it. I'm saying he betrayed you. For those that don't know, Nick wrote this huge write-up on him, this big breakdown, and the very next day, or that night even.
1 hour after publishing.
After publishing.
I think it was 1.2 innings, 8 earned runs, and then he's
hasn't been the same since.
In the next start and got pulled for Tommy John.
Yep, and has not been the same since. And it was funny because like we were both on Cool and we're an interesting guy in Pittsburgh and just so anyway, yeah, we'll see what they do with that. What else we got here? Who's your next guy?
Okay, so on the same vein is Louis Varland, man. I mean, that's very soon, but like we got to get in on this. And what's interesting with Minnesota, they have a strange schedule where it's at Kansas City for three, but just two in Milwaukee.
Oh,
three
early
against
two-pack.
Cleveland. And then three against the Dodgers. So I'm annoyed because it's the Dodgers and I got to deal with that for Varland. Otherwise, it was going to be the Tigers. And oh, you were so close.
That would have been nice
for that one. But Louis Varland is someone with a great fastball, 95 miles per hour, sometimes 96 on that. He wants to go upstairs with it. He can improve his command on that pitch, but he can learn from Ober and Ryan. And I'm sure that I know that's his intent. He also improved this spring with, instead of just being a slider, he has a cutter as well. And that essentially means you have a way to get strikes. It's not the slider. And then you can save the slider now for put away offerings. That's lovely. He's a guy that I think has the skill set to just comfortably be your last year's Bailey Ober.
Yep.
And that's super fun for me. So I would at the very least see how he looks for that Brewer start. If you really don't want to do it for the Dodgers, I get it. And you can maybe move on if it's not really pushing the needle that much. But Louis Varland is someone now that just has to be drafted everywhere.
Yeah, I was really keen on him, and I remain so. People were having some pushback because they were talking Desclafani as the fifth starter.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
Tony Disco, man, listen, health struck him again. Huge surprise, you know. The thing was, I did think that Varland was still very draftable in pretty much any format up to that point, just because of the health of Desclafani. Turns out now he's going to start on the IL. Varland right. gets the spot. And you mentioned Ober and Ryan with good reason, because he cuts a very similar figure to them. Strong strikeout rate, great walk rate, bit of a home run issue. It's going to kind of decide how good he's going to be and what sort of format he's going to be best for. If he can rein the home runs in, Louis Varland is in all formats must start. If not, he's going to be a little bit more of a fringe, you know, kind of a streamer in your 12s, maybe a team streamer in 15s, where you're not starting him every time, but you're not cutting him either. Bottom line, very live arm, very interested, love that he's breaking camp, and very affordable too. Let me get you a main event price on Louis Varland, a little bit higher up at 248, because he was an industry, like we call darling. Them sharps, right? Yeah, yeah, a little bit of an industry darling. The sharps kind of liked him. And now that he has that spot, people are interested. So you're going to have to jump in there and make a payment on him, but I do think it is worth it. He's going around Marcus Stroman, Seth Lugo, James Paxton, Griffin Canning. I think that's totally fair. You might not know the name, but he belongs in that type of group, I believe.
Yeah, so it's 321 in Fantasy Pros, but you also have like Kyle Gibson at 302 there. You might know him. And others and like Miles Mikolas and stuff.
Because the Fantasy Pros one could be with a bunch of data with him not having the job. So plan to pay something inside the top 300 if you really want to co-sign the Varland
pick. I also want to say that probably includes CBS points, which is going to value Michaelis and Gibson, those kind of Toby guys that don't touch in other leagues. So that does benefit those a little. But also, I mean, you mentioned Paxton in there. He was another one I was considering for this, because if you want to talk about just a month of the season, like Paxton is just getting overlooked. It's kind of nuts.
Completely overlooked. I mean, 250 is his price point. He can be a top 50 guy for a month at a time. And you just try to trust as long as you can. Yep.
That's
it. If he blows up again, thank you for your service. I wish you had stayed healthy. But yeah, I'm with you on Paxton. I almost put him on my list.
It's absolutely wild to me. He's going to get, if I have this right, Cardinals and then I think the Cubs the first start.
I'm taking that. Start, so. Like there all aren't really teams that are going to scare me for Paxton. It's all about his own, like it's all internal stuff. Nothing externally is going to bother me about James Paxton. It's just whether or not he's upright. And I will say, Nick, you probably already know this. You're an encyclopedia, but how many innings did he pitch last year?
He actually pitched a decent amount.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was like 17 surprised. Starts. So that would be like 110.
Yeah, you're right. You're almost exactly 108? On. It was 96, so you're a little hot.
96, okay.
19 starts because he, you know, had some small starts. But yeah, I was very surprised by that. So you might even get multiple months out of Paxton. So consider him a bonus. Neither of us put him on our list, but we both like James Paxton there. So that's a good call out. It's my last one then, yes?
Yeah, please hit
Let's stick with the same team. Inadvertent segue there. We're sticking with the Dodgers. This guy just got announced the fifth starter. I already liked him before that. Let's talk about Gavin Stone a bit. Now, I think this is one where he might divert a little bit. I know you're not as big of a fan of his, but I do like Gavin Stone. I'm a sucker for guys that got great changeups when they're young. He showed up last year, 31 innings. It was a disaster. The only thing that stuck out that was actually really nice was a 14% swinging strike rate. He did not utilize it. He put up a 15% K rate. Nick, I've never seen that sort of discrepancy where you actually got a bunch of whiffs, but you couldn't put guys away.
It's
and so
wild.
That it was rough. 13.4 hits, 2.3 homers. It was a nightmare for 31 innings. But Gavin Stone, 25 years old, came back, looked very sharp in camp, 9 2/3. Again, I'm not going to cite all the numbers. It's a small sample, but he did enough to earn the job. And if you want a cheap piece of the Dodgers rotation, you go for Paxton or Stone. Both of them are very inexpensive relative to where the rest of the Dodgers are. Bobby Miller, Yamamoto, and Glass. Now they're all in the top like 15 pitchers, top 50 picks. So you can get a cheap piece of a great team's rotation. I think Stone obviously needs to show that he can put guys away. He is doing it in spring. The swing and miss is there. The put away needs to be there on the major league level. I'm taking some confidence in him. I know you have a little bit less confidence in him, but I am interested in the pushback because I know that it's not all roses and sunshine, but it's a gamble I'm willing to take around pick 280 for Gavin Stone. He's at 287 in these main events.
No, I've been more in on this and I'm actually, you know, every vein that I'm talking about of like, hey, I go see what happens kind of thing. Sure, go with Gavin Stone. I have no objection whatsoever. It's against the Giants first. That's great. It's going to be the Cubs after that in Wrigley. I watched some Gavin Stone. And my biggest pushback has been a couple things. I mean, my biggest is a couple. No. it's interesting for you to say kind of that you like change-up guys. And I want to get some clarification on it because for me, I see young prospect pitchers with change-ups and I'm out. Those
really?
Are generally
okay.
not the ones that excel. That when it comes to younger arms, I need a four-seamer that dominates. I
well,
need
I do
a
agree
ball that,
that
dominates too.
I want a and, great four-seamer. I was thinking precisely what you were talking about earlier when we were talking about Crochet's Show Me.
Yep.
If I got a righty, I want him to be able to get lefties out. That's why I like change-ups.
Sure.
I agree it can't be the only thing, and it was last year. When in those 31 innings, that is literally all that Gavin Stone had was a change-up. Yeah. And so he could get early count swinging misses, and it didn't matter because he couldn't put away because the fastball and the breaking ball couldn't
and
do it.
And the change-up is generally not a put-away pitch.
Exactly. So that part is, and I can't push back on that because I fully agree. Fastball or slider need to take a step forward or Gavin Stone is going to have similar struggles. Probably not as bad because that was pretty next level bad, but he will have very big inconsistencies. I believe in both Stone, you know, some of the history that he's had in the minors and the Dodgers development to bring those pitches along so that they are at least average and flashing better so that he can get that. But I agree with you that that cannot be the only thing you had. And that was literally all he had.
Right.
So, I don't disagree
thing.
There.
Yeah. Major thing with Stone there was that, hey, change of first guys, just generally to me, I don't see them being as successful early. And when it comes to youngins, I mean, look at Pepio, who struggled initially.
Yep.
And then you have also like Drew Thorpe, who's a big name in the same way, and change of first. And it's just generally, it's not even about, it's good that you can get lefties, but you can't really get out righties a lot with changeups unless it's like a true walk a changeup and just, and you have enough there too to mix in. So, Stone needs to showcase that he has more to do against righties, which is the more important one here.
Absolutely.
And what we have seen is that it is better. 1.5 ticks up on the fastball. Hey, all right. Not so bad. There is some rumbling that the slider is better. It has moments.
Flashes only in spring so far.
That he's right. Yeah. So that it is very much possible. James Anderson's very in on him. And when James Anderson is in on somebody, I'm in on them. I have to
I feel
be.
Good. James Anderson. Yeah. When James Anderson
funny,
co-signs.
I talked to him in Florida because he was really in on Stone. I talked to him about it because I was like, I don't really love changeup guys at first. And he made a really good point saying, look, if I'm the Dodgers, he's not a reliever. So what is he going to do? Like, he has to start.
He has to start, and yeah. Because he can't. He doesn't have enough to relieve for those exact flaws that we're pointing
right.
out.
Now, the pushback I have also, the other ones, it wasn't the biggest one, was that the Dodgers, how they're set up, is they generally love having these guys that are just your longer starters, but not, or sorry, no longer relievers than active starters.
Yes.
As opposed to just saying, hey guys, we have five pitchers who are going five plus every single time. They love to have that extra one that is a little bit more flexible.
So it could be a 3-4 inning start a bunch
right.
of times.
And I worry that Stone still has that mold.
And
like
that's
he's
fair.
Not going to turn into a 6 inning guy. And because they have Michael Grove that they love to throw in like this.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I was watching Landon Knack. I was watching Kyle Hurt. Both of those guys have the same exact mold as how they used Stone and Michael Grove last year.
Mm-hmm.
The only one of their prospects that I think could break out of it is River Ryan. But we got to see more on that one first.
No, Sheehan
River
love.
Ryan just has more of like the athletic and overall arsenal that speaks to being like a 6-inning guy for the Dodgers mm-hmm. in time.
Nothing on Sheehan. You don't think he can?
Oh, Sheehan. They think I actually do think they could. I've totally forgot about Sheehan. Thank you. But that might
He's
be
Nick
kind
right
of
now.
Part of the problem for them is
yes.
that they're doing that with Sheehan. They're doing that with Stone. They're doing that with, and that's why they were willing to give up Pepio because they're like, all right, we don't really need that. We'll just take Glasnow and then
and try to make him an actual legit
right.
starter.
Then you realize Buehler's going to come back. Dustin May is going to come back, and they, you know, sure, Paxton gets removed. And of course, Glasnow might get removed. We'll see. You know, they're trying to slow down Yamamoto. I actually do think Bobby Miller is going to be the one that throws the most innings for the Dodgers this year.
Totally agree. Totally
but
agree.
I do have a fear long term. And if I'm really going to go in on one of these, I really do want to go for a guy that looks really good early. And I just feel like, great, now I've got it. Going against, of course, what I'm talking about with like the only look at 2 weeks or so. But that is really the rooted in my Gavin Stone take is just, I don't really know if he's going to truly get that opportunity we want, considering Dodgeritis is still kind of a thing.
Absolutely.
However, I'm in first couple of weeks. Just see how this goes. What the heck? Like, Gavin Stone could be definitely better than he was. Just struck out like eight guys on 11 or 20 changeup whiffs, which is just dumb in Korea, with the guy spinning on his foot, which was amazing.
And he got the role. So he's got the role. Take the shot with Gavin Stone. It's another one that's really not going to cost you. He's a little bit more expensive than our first couple guys. He's more in that Louis Varland level, and probably going to rise a little bit now that he's been announced the fifth. So who is your last guy, Nick?
Well, I actually have a collection I really want to talk with you quickly.
Okay.
And I'm going to go over all of those after this break. So this is obviously the podcast of like the SP5s, the youngins who are doing things. And I'm going to throw out a couple of names quickly. I'm going to, see where you're at on these. AJ Puck, he gets the Pirates and the Angels. How do you feel?
With the matchups, take the shot. I'm a little tepid on him, but the matchups say.
Why are you tepid on Puck?
Because I loved him for so long. I feel burned. I think I'm a scorned lover. I loved AJ Puck coming up. And I just don't know what we can trust. But again, I was thinking too long term. I'm thinking too full season. I got to go back to the mentality we're talking about. Short term, what can he do? Can he go 5 in both of those against those teams? Absolutely. He has nasty stuff. Do you think he can, if we do branch it out though, do you think he can be a full season guy? Now that he's 29, you think they're just going to let him go, right?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay, 100%. Then you know what?
This is the time now or never for AJ Puck. He's the number two right now.
Well, yeah, because they've had some injuries crop up. Yeah.
But I think, once Braxton comes back, it's probably going to be Weathers. Whoever the fifth is gone. And then when Edward Cabrera is back, then it's going to be Weathers gone. I love all three of those, though, of Puck, Rogers, Weathers right now. Puck will get the Pirates and Angels. Rogers and Weathers will get the Pirates and the Cardinals. I'm all for all three. Rogers, I think, actually should be above Weathers for a lot of people. I was in on Weathers, and I still am intrigued. But we actually did see last year him look much better early in spring and then fade. And that could happen again. Mm-hmm. And Trevor Rogers, even though he's like a tick and a half down, he's got his changeup working now.
I was going to say the rest of the stuff
and slider and they're down, and that's kind of nice. He just needs to get back to 93 and 94. If he does that, then like Trevor Rogers is looking kind of good again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a fan of Puck too. I think that he has a wider arsenal than we were giving him credit for. He's already showed up being like, oh, finally I get to start again. Great. Cool. Here's this pitch. Here's that pitch. You know, it's like, oh, nice. Okay. I think he's going to be all right with it.
And it's you brought me back in. Cause like I said, I love him.
And sinker too uses it well. He's solid.
And the control was sneaky nice last year.
Yes.
It might have gone overlooked because, I mean, he was a closer for half the year, but 5% walk rate, best we've ever seen, didn't hit the K's at all. He was absolutely his best self last year. So you know what? You brought me back in. I don't need to worry about getting burned. Let's go. AJ Puck.
All right. So I have talked a little bit about Ryan Nelson this offseason being he's throwing harder and he has a better looking cutter and slider. The problem, he gets the Yankees and then Atlanta. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, you can't.
Not doing it.
And this is the kind of guy, this is a great example of a guy, let somebody else do it and then pick him up when they cut him.
Right.
Because they're going to realize that they can't use him because they didn't do their due diligence to see what the schedule looks like. And then they'll cut Nelson and then you can pick him up the week that he starts against Atlanta, put him on your bench for whatever comes after that.
Absolutely. So not doing that one. I am going to do Reynaldo Lopez everywhere.
I love Ray. Now, it's interesting because I said Puck, you know, he's burned me and I moved away, but now I'm back in. Raylo, I've never been able to quit. I adore Raylo. He got the job. I'm such a sucker for him. You could tell me anything. I'm already in. Talk to us about Raylo.
What's funny is I don't know if you remember, Spore. The very first article I ever did for Rotographs was Raylo's debut.
I do remember. How can I forget?
I covered that one. I was like, all right, this is pretty cool, guys. Look at Raylo. And I guess that was like June 30th or something like that in 2017.
I love that.
He gets the White Sox. Remember the hilarious. And then he gets the Mets, his first two starts, followed by Miami after that. So three nice outings for Raylo to kick off the year. His four-seamer is good. It is a good four-seamer. You should like that. You should get in on that. Slider is filthy, but last year was a sub 60% strike rate.
And that
if you know
was
me,
problem.
I'm all about you need a secondary that's above a 60% strike rate to make sure you're not walking the farm. So I hope that gets better. And it does look like it is so far in the spring.
Better in spring.
And one of the funniest things, too, is that at First Pitch Florida, we actually went to the game that Raylo started against the Blue Jays in Dunedin. And so I thought, oh, man, I'm gonna go down there and try and, like, walk around behind home plate before they kick me out to, like, get a look at him. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, man, I don't like this. He looks too wild or whatever. This is bad. I'm out. And then I watched it on TV after. I was like, oh, no, I'm so in. This is great.
So sometimes your eyes can deceive you in person. You'd think you're getting a better look in person.
Yeah, right. So I'm in. I'm very much in. It's such a good team context. He clearly has it now. Elder is out. Waldrip, by the way, no. That is a volatile dude. He is made for the pen, without a doubt. And guess what his number two pitch is? It's a splitter,
your favorite.
Do not go after Waldrip as a starter.
That doesn't bother you at all when it's your number two.
He might be a closer next year for Atlanta. Amazing.
Exactly. Right. Agree on that. As a starter. Do not go for him as a starter.
Raylo's in this group 100% for me.
Okay.
Someone that I am circling, and I just want to know today, who is the fifth starter for the New York Yankees? Who is it, Spore? Who do you think
it's David Cone? I think they're going to go with David Cone after.
Oh, that would make me so happy. Cone.
I'm a Luis Gil guy. I know Clayton Beter is fighting, but I'm a Gil, and it's not Gil, y'all. It's Gil, G-I-L. But I'm a Luis Gil guy. I've been taking him in drafts. I got him in three drafts so far.
So Will Warren might get it.
I like the Will Warren call. I thought he was more of a summer guy. Is he actually really angling here?
Oh, well, I mean, right now, okay. I've been following this, of course, with the Yankees. Be like, what are you doing with these three guys?
Yes.
And they're pretty much like starting each day, like matched up together. Either like, if it's like Warren first, then Clayton Beter will go four innings later.
Mm-hmm.
And my instinct is that the Yankees would say, look, Luis Gil's coming back from Tommy John. And he's really good. And if he comes up, he's not leaving the rotation. So let's not bring him up first because we're not going to get 180 out of him.
Let him come up in the summer.
So we wait until like May 15th, something like that. And then he comes up and he sticks around.
Okay.
While Will Warren and Clayton Beter, to me, I actually don't really think are that amazing of starting pitchers. Will Warren is kind of like a Clark Schmidt.
I love that.
Eno's mentioned this a lot of like, well, Warren, Clark Schmidt, Michael King, these are the guys that the Yankees bred of.
They got a type.
Overpowering four seamers.
Yep.
But they have sinkers, they have sweepers, and they have changeups, right? So, Will Warren has a better, it's more of like a depth slider from what I've seen, a little bit more so than Clark Schmidt's, but it makes more sense to me that they would do Will Warren as just kind of like an overall polished one. But
any concerns that he's not on the 40?
That's a great point. I don't know, honestly.
And that's why I was leaning away from him until the summer for Will Warren.
That's a phenomenal point. That's why Roster Resource has it as Clayton Beter. That's a really, really good point. So that might be Clayton Beter then for that reason.
Yeah, so then it could be Beter and still put Heel back because of the innings, like you said. If they want to commit to him when they do bring him up, I can get behind that. And I've been taking Heel in like 50-round draft holds, just so people know. I don't have him in any waiver wire leagues right now. But it could then be Beter. Do you want to give us a quick sentence or two on Beter as to whether
Beter is how good he could be? So here's the thing. Heel and Beter are similar in the sense that four-seamer slider. And they, called it the Luis Severino type.
Yes.
And I am so much into Luis Severino types. Overpowering four-seamer, high velocity, 95-plus with, good enough pitch shape to make that work with a big, like, gyro slider and then the changeup to complement it.
Yep.
That is like, if you give me three pitches for a guy, that's it. I don't want a curveball.
I totally agree.
I would love a cutter as your number four in there. That'd be great. But those three is what I really want. And Beter, I don't love his command. I don't think he has as overpowering not even close to as Heel. So it's not really someone I want to chase if it's Clayton Beter. But Luis Gil is dope, man. It is such a good four-seamer. And the fact that this spring he showcased that he has a changeup for strikes is such a big deal.
I've been so impressed with Heel
what
this
he
spring.
Needed before. And actually, Christian Javier also has a changeup for strikes now, and it's kind of amazing.
I was watching him the other day. I was just like, watching his last start, and I was like, I think I'm back in on Christian Javier.
I'm in on Javier, and I kind of love the fact that it was like a four-walk game with one strikeout. I'm like, that's not going to be his life.
Like, no, and it'll push people off. Crazy. Let them get scared. The rain was right. It was fine. I'm not worried.
I got him in Tout Wars, so I was like, I'm in. changeup is a big deal, game changer. But yeah, Luis Gil is someone that I just want the Yankees to confirm it. The second they do, everywhere, Luis Gil.
Okay.
No questions asked. So, he would get the, let's see, I have it written down.
Stay tuned to that fifth starter.
At Arizona and then get Toronto. Honestly, Toronto I have as like a dark red, as in like, oh, avoid. Not as like terrifying as like Atlanta or like the Dodgers, yeah, of course.
And like,
so if he looks for me, that's against Arizona, I don't care.
Exactly. It's a case by case. And if he gets a job and he popped off against Diamondbacks, I agree. I would take the plunge against Toronto, knowing it's a risk, but like, it wouldn't be a full runaway, because I think if Heel's doing his thing, and I know it's, you know, the easy comp to go Luis to Luis, but you brought up the Severino comps. He could really be good Severino.
Better four seamer. Better four seamer than Severino did.
Which is a huge compliment. And yeah, Heel's free right now. Pick 395 in the main event. I bet it's going to be even cheaper at Fantasy Pros. He'll go up if he gets announced. So if you have your draft this weekend and he gets announced on like Friday or something as the fifth starter, expect to pay more, but still probably within the 300s. Yeah. I don't think he'll pop into the top 300.
I'm trying to see here if there's like anyone else that's really on the fringe here that I'm super excited about, and I'm not really seeing too many. Is there someone that I didn't mention that you've been thinking about? There is actually for me, but yeah, I'm curious if you have any. I think the one, this is more for your 15 teamers. This is really one guy that is getting completely overlooked. Like truly, it's Tyler Wells, because Tyler, he gets Wells, the Royals and the Pittsburgh Pirates to start,
and he's, they won't exploit his biggest issue, the home runs.
Yeah. He's going to get two wins.
I loved him last year,
and this is a pick that I made in Guillotine League. And Guillotine League is about 2 weeks.
You're in Guillotine. I'm so jealous.
It's the best Wacky League. It's the one I do every year. Miles went to me and said, "Nick, you have to do a Wacky League. Do Guillotine, because if you don't." You know, if you don't have time for it, then great. Then you just get eliminated. You're Who out. Cares?
Yeah, you get smoked and it's no big deal. No, I'm big on Tyler Wells. I hate the reason that he's in, because Means and Bradish are murked, because he wasn't going to be in before that. Right. But the silver lining is that I do really like Tyler Wells. So I'm fully with you there. The guy I was going to ask you about is somebody I loved as a prospect. He's working his way back from TJ. Let's go back to the Marlins for a moment. You got anything on Max Meyer?
Max Meyer. So I'm actually really curious if the Marlins are going to make him the SP5.
Yeah, he felt like a summer guy to me.
Yeah, and I also imagine because Braxton and Cabrera are not expected to be out past April.
Yes.
The Marlins might just go Brian Hoeing and Yanni Chirinos and just whatever,
and just
that
piece it together.
SP5.
Exactly.
And not do this with Max Meyer until they really want him, you know, stable in the rotation, which is what I would do if I were the Marlins.
Precisely.
He's
my concern.
A slider first guy. At least he was before Tommy John. What I've seen from him in spring, he's still very much in on that. And that's cool with me. He's not, he's in that third tier of prospects.
Okay.
Where it could be helpful, could be good. It's not overwhelming to me of the electricity. And I'm not like rolling over backwards to get him on my teams.
He's had relief risk. And if, you know, things didn't go well this year, I could see him being in the bullpen, go fastball slider. But he's somebody I'm keeping tabs on. Like I said, I felt like he's maybe more of a Memorial Day guy for the exact reasons you laid out, because the guys that are out aren't expected out long. And the thing that you mentioned with Heel, where the Yankees are going to want to put him in, set it and forget it.
Right.
I think the Marlins want to do that with Meyer for the innings they can get this year, which is probably close to like 100. And so that just might be, we'll call you up later. We're going to give you 2 to 4 inning stints in AAA until then to keep you stretched and then go. But he is in contention. So if he breaks camp, maybe we take a shot. But exactly. What was the Marlins schedule again? Wasn't it tough for the fifth?
The Marlins for Ryan Weathers is Pittsburgh and then at St. Louis, which I think is the same for. So he would get the first one would be the Angels and then at St. Louis as the SP5 for the Marlins.
And if he gets it. You know, little hem and haw, but you're right. They could go Chirinos.
The Angels throw that out there. That's cool. Are you scared about St. Louis?
I was actually a little bit more scared about the Angels, but
really,
sort of.
You
not
tell me
really.
More. I'm not the hitter guy.
No, I mean, I don't know. I tell you what, I'm huge on Trout this year. Obviously, he has to stay healthy. He's still Mike Trout. I still think he's a god. I like Taylor Ward. I'm a Brandon Drury guy. But as I'm looking at the lineup here, you're right. I would not be afraid to run my guys out. Wait. St. Louis, though. They were good last year. The team was bad because of the pitching. So that is a lineup that I would be a little bit more tentative with. Now, again, somebody like Max Meyer, who is a top prospect that you might be excited about, if he did good against the, did well against the Angels and you really liked him, I would be okay taking the gamble against the Cardinals. They are a quality lineup, 1-9, but they're not a team that you have to run from. Luis Gil, like, I'm not saying they're facing the Cardinals yet, but like that type of prospect that you really love, I would take that chance against a quality lineup like this. So yeah, I respect the Cardinals, but they do not, I do not fear them with my good prospects.
You would love my Tetwars team.
Is that right?
I got Trout in that one.
Love it.
I got Christian Javier in that. Joe Ryan. I got Cole Reagans, of course.
You really are speaking my language here.
It's a great team. Okay.
Here's the thing. you absolutely dominated. Mike Trout, anything past pick 50, like it's still Mike Trout, right? Like his per game behaviors are still excellent. Even last year, the down year for Mike Trout, he put up a 134 WRC plus, and he's going pick 80 in the main event. Like, I'm sorry, I'm just totally in on Mike Trout. I will take the shot. I don't think he'll never play 130 games again in the season. I will take the gamble this year. So that's a one little hitter tip there in the fireside that we're going to give you. Wow. Go get Mike Trout. Go get the best player of his generation.
Spicy.
I know.
Spicy fire.
Really out on a limb there, recommending Mike Trout.
I think that might actually be a good way to conclude this.
Okay.
With a curveball of Mike Trout.
Let's do it.
Spore, this is it's great that we're starting this again. We're going to be recording these on Tuesdays, maybe pushing them out. I think on Wednesdays, traditionally, I might push this one out early today.
That sounds great.
It's super fun. It's a debut. But yeah, Spore, look at us. How did we get here? Huh?
Look at us. You know, the Paul Rudd thing, I assume you're referencing, which I appreciate.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And, you know, it'll mix up too. Sometimes we'll talk about one specific pitcher and we will deep dive that guy. What's going on with him or why is he good? We're going to have all sorts of different things. The thing that you can expect is pitching talk. Obviously, we just ended with a little Trout talk there for fun, but it's always going to be pitching talk. All sorts of different stuff. Sometimes we're going to talk about why some guy's becoming the next big ace or why some guy that you drafted in the top 50 is somebody that you might end up cutting. We don't know where it's going to go. It's just going to be pitching. The birth of this was that we were huge on Luis Castillo after his debut 80 innings. And then, boy, were we wrong early on. However, I always want to point out that he salvaged that season, that first full season. He ended up really turning it around. So as eager as we were a little too eager on him, but he did salvage it. And we later learned that maybe Luis Castillo has a little bit of a weather issue. So what is Seattle's early schedule? Does he have to go pitch in any cold?
Oh, that's a great question. I didn't even consider. I mean,
maybe we can end with that.
Regardless, he's hosting the Red Sox and then hosting the Guardians. And then
okay, and if it's freezing, they'll just close it. If it's freezing, they'll close it. So don't worry about it. But anyway, come join us by the fire every week throughout the season. We're going to be talking pitching. Nick, thanks so much for joining me. Take care.
Of course. And Spore, it's always fun hanging with you by the fire.